Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. Before we begin tonight's class, I just want to make an announcement about two important classes that go on here in Mayan Yisrael. One is a six-week series that began 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night by Dr. Leibovitz in Chovas Alvavas, The Duties of the Heart, Shar HaBitochen, The Portal of Trust, a very, very important class and a very interesting class and very applicable to life. So those of you that can make it, 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, there's another 4 weeks of that class. And if you missed the first two, you can catch up by listening to them online. And I think they're independently understood. So this is Wednesdays at 8. Another very important announcement. This week, Sunday, there is going to be a presentation by a world-renowned speaker, Rabbi Jonathan Rieti, who is going to speak on the subject of education, how to improve the education of our children. We can all do that. The topic is My Child, My Greatest Gift, My Greatest Responsibility. And that definitely says it all. It's important to come and learn and study and to be inspired about bettering the education of our children, what we can do at home, and how we can assure that they're getting the best education at school. This is going to be this Sunday, February 12th, 7:30. Rabbi Rieti is a phenomenal speaker. He's entertaining, engaging, profound, deep. It's very interesting. And so I would recommend everybody this Sunday night, 7:30. Usually the classes are at 8. So this class, this Sunday, is 7:30, probably will be about till about 9 o'clock. So those are the announcements in regards to the Shiurim. Then just a few dedications for tonight's class. A dedication by Rabbi Frankel, Rabbi Lazar Frankel. This is in honor of his mother-in-law, a Rebbetzin Shik, who passed away a little less than a month ago. HaRabbanis Dvoira Bas Rabbi Yomtiv. Her Shloishim is going to be this coming Sunday, Yud Tes Shvat. She passed away Yud Tes Tevis. May her soul, may this be to be a big schus for her neshama, to the merit of her soul. She's been from the founders of Jewish life here in Los Angeles. Her husband, Rav Shik, actually his yard site was yesterday, Tzvi Aryeh Ben Reb Yitzchak, and her were from the first shuls here in the community. So may this be to the schus of her neshama, and may she be send a lot of blessings and merit and good to her family, to the Frankel family, and all of her children and grandchildren, and a schus for the entire community. The another dedication, this is for the shir and the CD this week. This is by Mr. Enoch Kimmelman, and this is in honor of his mother's yard site, Pesi Bas Rabbi Yechiel Meir. Her yard site is tonight, Yud Dalet Shvat. I think it's the third yard site. May her neshama be elevated to the greatest of heights, and may she be a Melitz Yosher for her family, and send a lot of bracha down to you, Enoch, to your entire mishpacha, and channel down the blessings, begashmis, in the physical, in the material, and in the spiritual, in all that you need, and all that you want, and only good. Another dedication on this week's CD. This was by Rabbi Herzl Alulian from the Beverly Hills Gem Center and his family. This is in honor of his father's yard site, Mesud Ben Agajan. This is this Friday, the 17th of Shvat. May his neshama be elevated higher and higher, and may this add to the merit, which he has a lot of merit already for all the good that you do and that your center accomplishes. But aside for that, the extra merit from the Torah that is spread through this CD, may it elevate his soul to the greatest of heights and channel a abundance of blessings to you and your family. And the last dedication tonight, last but not least, is again the CD this week. It has been sponsored by the Bestamsky family. All the Bestamskys, and this is in honor of their beloved daughter and sister, Nechama Basya Bas Reb Avram Yitzchak, whose first yard site is going to be this Thursday, Tezayin Shvat. She left this world in the prime of her life. May there be, shouldn't be any more sorrow or pain in the mishpacha, and may her soul be elevated higher and higher and higher. The elevation of the first yard site is a very great elevation, and may it be higher and higher, and may the merit of this year carry her soul to unimaginable heights. And from her very lofty place, may she send down lots of blessings to the entire Bestamsky family, to her husband, to her children, to everyone, to the brothers, sisters, and all the relatives. And very soon, may you all be reunited again, the neshama returning back to the body to complete its life, and all souls coming back to this physical world in which where souls are meant to be, to bring the godly presence down to this world. This week's parsha is Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro, we learn about the giving of the Torah. And it's a little strange because, you know, we're celebrating Matan Torah, and we're one-third into the Torah already. It means we've been learning Torah already since, I mean, this round of the Torah. We've been learning already since Bereshis. And we have already finished one book and a half of a second of the second book of the Torah. And suddenly we encounter the giving of the Torah. So, which is a little confusing. So what have we been studying till now if the Torah hasn't been given yet? It's only at this point that the Torah is being given in Parshas Yisro. So what have we been studying from Bereshis till now? Has it not been the Torah? So what is really going on? So of course, on the physical level, on the literal level, it's not such a big question. It's a simple thing, a simple answer. And that is that the Torah records that which happened before the Torah was given. In the beginning, the Torah tells us the story of creation. But even though this is a story of creation, yet it's part of the Torah that is given to us this week in the Parsha, Parshas Yisro. And especially since, as we know, that the Gemara tells us, the Talmud tells us, that the Torah was given in sections. The Torah, parshiyos nitnu. The Torah was given in sections. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu, who recorded the entire Torah, God is the author of the Torah, but Moshe Rabbeinu, through prophecy and godly inspiration, and dictated by God, wrote the entire Torah, but he wrote it in portions. That means, as the Talmud tells us, that right before the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the part of the Torah that begins at Bereshis and goes till Parshas Yisro. So those sections of the Torah recording the Exodus and recording all the events that happened, the story of our fathers and Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and our mothers, and the story, all the whole story of the Torah until now was recorded and written down by Moshe before the Torah was given. And then, once the Torah was given, God came down and gave us the Ten Commandments. So that too is not the whole Torah. That was just Ten Commandments. That's what we call the giving of the Torah, when God gave us the Ten Commandments. And then, during the latter 40 years, in the next 40 years, when the Jews were wandering in the desert, so as the mitzvahs, as Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the mitzvahs to the Jewish people, he wrote down every mitzvah, every parsha of the Torah. So it came down in sections. And finally, at the conclusion of the 40 years, as it says, L'koach ha-sefer ha-Torah ha-zos, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to the Leviim, he put it all together, and we had a complete Sefer Torah. He even wrote the last few verses that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu passing away. So there you have the complete Torah. So in the literal sense, it's not a question. And that is that the Torah comes in sections, and it's all one Torah. Even though it's telling us about events that happened before the Torah was given. But on a more spiritual, level, the question over here is like this. When we're reading Parshas Yisro, we're getting excited. Why are we getting excited? Because we're getting excited that the Torah is being given to us. This week, now, the Torah is given. And we're supposed to relive it. Because every experience that we read in the Torah is something that is not just information, knowledge. It's something that we experience.
And every year we experience it again and again and on a higher level than we had the year before. So last week when it was Parsha Shira, Parshas Beshalach, the theme of the parsha is the splitting of the sea and the song the Jewish people sang when they came out of Mitzrayim. So in every Jewish home, it is Shabbos Shira. It's a Shabbos of song. It's a very uplifting Shabbos. And the home and all the people and the Shabbos table is permeated with the theme, with the idea of that Shabbos. Not only is meant to be on Shabbos, it's supposed to carry us through the entire week in which we are living the theme, as it says, we have to live with the Torah portion. Medaf leben mit der Zeit, we have to live with the time that we are, which means the Torah portion that we are reading. And the week before that, we were living the Exodus. And a couple of weeks ago, we were experiencing the Yosef going down to Egypt. We were living with our patriarchs and mothers and matriarchs, with Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, etc. These stories are alive. They're not just alive because we're all studying the same thing. They're alive because spiritually it is reoccurring during that time. And that energy is there. It's in the ear for us to tap into. So when it comes to Parshas Yisro, there is all this excitement, again, that the Torah is being given, just like Shavuos. Shavuos is the holiday in which we're celebrating the giving of the Torah. And every year, we're supposed to experience it as if it's happening for the first time, because it's really happening again. Every year, Hashem gives us the Torah. And the same is also when we read the Torah portion that discusses the giving of the Torah. This week's parasha, it's supposed to excite us that the Torah is being given. But the question is, how can we get excited that the Torah is being given if we've been learning Torah yesterday and the day before, and we've been learning the Torah since Parshas Bereishis, we've been already learning the Torah. And is there really any difference in the Torah that we've been learning till now or the Torah that we're learning on from Parshas Yisro? Is it in any less? Is the Torah that we were studying in Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis and Noach and the story of the Mabel, is that any less Torah, with all the godliness and all the holiness of Torah, than the Torah that we are studying now in Parshas Yisro? Now, obviously not, because we know that if there is a little portion of the Torah missing, or even one letter of the Torah missing, the Torah is puzzle. And it doesn't make a difference if it's a letter in Parshas Yisro, or in Parshas Pekudei, or in Sefer Vayikra, or it's a letter in Parshas Noach, which is way before the Torah is given. It's all part of the Torah. So then what is the meaning that this week and now is Matan Torah? Now, it's taking place now when we've been having the Torah all along. Now, one of the explanations to that is, the question is asked, why the Torah begins with a beis? Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz. The first letter in the Torah is a beis. And the question is, why does the Torah begin with a beis? The Torah is made up of words, the words are made up of letters, so it would have been fitting that the first letter of the Torah should have been an aleph. Because that's the first letter, and this is the beginning of the Torah. The Torah should have started with an aleph. One of the answers that are given to that question, and this is a question asked by the sages, it's dealt with in Medrash, it's dealt with in the Zohar, why does the Torah begin with a beis and the Torah doesn't begin with an aleph? The answer that is given is that the beginning, the Torah is discussing creation. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So this is God creating the world. And God creating the world is of secondary importance. Because the creation is of secondary importance, of secondary significance. Because the primary significance, what is most important, is not the creation. The most important thing is the Torah. The creation is here to support the Torah. That's why the creation is of a secondary significance to the Torah. That's why the story of creation begins with a beis to teach us that this is number two, this is not number one. Number one is the Torah. That's why when it comes to Parshas Yisro, and we read about the giving of the Torah, beginning with the Ten Commandments, what is the first letter in the Ten Commandments? What is the first? Is an aleph. Because the opening of the Ten Commandments is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. God says, I am God, your God. So the word Anochi, the Hebrew word Anochi, begins with an Aleph. So that is the Aleph. The Torah is number one, and creation is number two. And number two is very, very, very drastically or immeasurably lower and less important than number one. Torah is number one. Creation is base. However, this answer, again, is insufficient. Doesn't really fully do. Doesn't answer it completely, because when we say that creation is number two, is of secondary to the Torah, so that's creation. That's not the Torah. Torah is number one. Creation is number two. When it says Bereishis bara lakim es hashamayim v'sa'aretz, there's two elements to Bereishis bara lakim es hashamayim v'sa'aretz. One element is, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. So it's relating to us what happened when God created. What happened when God created? God spoke the world into existence. With 10 utterances, God created the world. And what was the first utterance that God said when he created the world? The sages say that the word Bereishis is also an utterance. Bereishis nama maimer. Bereishis is also one of the utterances. Meaning, even though it doesn't say Vayomer Hashem Bereishis, that Hashem said Bereishis, Bereishis is also one of the things that Hashem uttered. Or as the Hasidic masters explain, that Bereishis is the primary thought, the first initial thought, which later was translated into the other nine utterances when God said, let there be light, and all the other utterances. But the first thought that encapsulates all of creation, that is Bereishis. So, when it comes to the actual creation that Hashem is creating, and over there we're saying, why is Hashem using a base as the first letter that he is uttering from his mouth to create the world? Is because God gives the creation only secondary significance. The creation is only a means to an end. The creation is not what's most important. So therefore Hashem chose a secondary letter. The Beis, Hashem is not going to take the primary letter, the first letter, the most important letter, number one letter, to create the world with. So Hashem creates the world with a Beis because it's of secondary importance. So that we understand. But Bereishis bara lakim is also a story in the Torah. The Torah is speaking, the Beis is the first letter of the Torah. If you look in a Sefer Torah, you look in a Chumash, the Torah opens up with a Beis. So that's already the Torah speaking. So why does it start with a base? If Torah is Aleph, if Torah is Hashem, if Torah is the highest, the greatest thing. So we would understand if the utterances themselves would begin with base is one thing. But the Torah should have started with an Aleph. It could have said, Amar Hashem, Hashem says, Bereishis bara lakim es hashamayim v'sa'aretz, and there you got your Torah starting with an Aleph. Why does the Torah start with a Beis? So therefore we have to say that not only is creation itself secondary and Torah is number one, but even the Torah itself, the Torah part that deals with the creation, the Torah that is narrating the story of creation, and not only narrating the story, but the Torah as it relates to the creation in its entirety, is only a base. That's why the Torah also begins with a base, because that's the secondary element of Torah. That's the Torah already in its creation form. Even though it's divine, but its divinity as it is as it is relatable and dealing and adjusting, so to speak, to the creation. But then there is the Aleph of the Torah. And what is the Aleph of the Torah? The Aleph of the Torah is Torah as it is to God Himself. Torah as it is, completely unrelating to the world, in its infinitely transcendental state. Torah as it relates to God Himself, and only in a manner that God knows it. Elohim Haven Darka, the Torah as God knows it. That's the Aleph of the Torah. That element of the Torah only reveals itself in Parshas Yisro, this week in the Parsha. And that's the greatness and that's the excitement of Matan Torah. Of course, we've been studying Torah from Bereshis, when we started after Sukkot, when we began reading the Torah. But when we are studying the Torah then, we are studying the base of the Torah as it is applicable, relatable, and part of the creation. Within the creation, it is the highest element of the creation. It is the godly light as it relates to the creation. But it is base. It's creation Torah, so to speak. True godly Torah begins this week in the Parsha. Anoichi, the Aleph. And that's why we only have the Aleph over here. And what do the sages tell us? That the Aleph of Anoichi literally indicates this idea that Torah now, at this junction, at this point, is where the Torah is on a completely godly level. On a godly dimension. That's why the sages say on the word Anoichi, if you look at Masechta Shabbos, it says, Ano Nafshi. That the sages say that the word Anoichi is an acronym for four words. In Hebrew, right? The word Anoichi is made up of four letters. Aleph, Nun, Chaf, Yud. So the sages say that Anoichi stands for Ano I, Nafshi, my soul, Ksavis, I have inscribed, Yehovis, I have given. God is saying, the Aleph of Anoichi means I myself, who I am, me in a completely godly level, as I am truly God, Nafshi, my soul, my inner self, Yehovis, I have transmitted myself, Ksavis, I have inscribed myself, I have put myself into the Torah, Yehovis, and then I have transmitted it. I have given it over to you. So the Aleph of the word Anoichi is indicating to God Himself. So what is with the Torah? So are we going to argue then that the first part of the Torah from Bereshis until Parshas Yisro is not as Torah-dig, is not as godly? Of course not. Because once we have the Anoichi in Parshas Yisro, once God reveals the Aleph in the Torah, or imbues Himself into the Torah, His very, very infinite, the infinite dimension of the Torah as it is on a completely godly scale, retroactively that affects the entire Torah. And it invigorates everything in the Torah from the base of Bereshis with the energy of Anoichi. Anoichi spreads and is diffused in the entire Torah. But it takes all the way to Parshas Yisro to discover the Aleph, which retroactively affects even back to the beginning of the Bereshis. But it's at this point where we get the Anoichi. Or we can say, in other words, it was always there, but it wasn't revealed. When it comes to Parshas Yisro, over here is where we encounter the Torah in its highest, deepest, most inner state. God Himself, as He is one with the Torah. The Medrash says, when God says, I have given you my Torah, I have given you myself. Oisi atem loikhem, you are taking me. You're not just relating to the Torah, but you're relating to me, because I am the Torah. Oiraisa v'kutcha b'ruchu kulachad, as the Zohar says. The Torah and God is one. But that begins this week in the Parsha. This is transmitted, or this breakthrough of God giving access to His people, to human beings, His very self, and the godly dimension of the Torah, this begins this week in the Parsha. This will explain an interesting thing. You know, we make such a big deal about the giving of it. Just like we asked the question before, what is so celebratory this week in the Parsha if we had Torah till now? The question is also, why are we celebrating historically? Why do we make such a big deal and such a big commotion about the giving of the Torah? Why did God make such a commotion about the giving of the Torah? He went and He put the Jewish people, we know, for Matan Torah, God went, put the Jewish people through the most brutal unspeakable, incomprehensible exile, suffering. And we say, what was the point of it? It needed to prepare the world for the giving of the Torah. The Jews needed a purification so they can be ready for the greatest gift of all, God giving the Torah to the world, giving them the Torah. And then we came out of Mitzrayim, we had a 49-day of intense purification, refinement corresponding to today's day, Sfiras HaOmer. And then we finally came to them this week when we read B'chodesh HaShlishi, we came the third month of Sivan, we came 6 days before the giving of the Torah, and God begins the intense preparation, and then 3 days before there is a separation, everybody has to be purified in the highest kind of purification, the Torah is being given. And finally when the Torah is being given, there is quaking and shaking and thunder and lightning and volcanic eruptions, the world is going haywire, and everybody is passing out, and they have to be resurrected 10 times, For why? Because God is giving the Torah. The simple question, I mean, the Jews had the Torah before already. We know that Avram Avinu studied the entire Torah. Yitzchak studied the Torah. As it says, not only did Avram study the Torah, the Medrash says, Zakein v'yoshev v'yeshiva, that Avram sat and studied, but Avram actually kept the entire Torah. He literally performed all the mitzvahs. Even Erev Tavshil, and even the rabbinic elements of the Torah, even those mitzvahs Avram Avinu kept. Yitzchak and Yaakov studied Torah, as we learned, that's what he was doing, 14 years in Shem Ve'ever. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Aholim, he would sit and study in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. He was studying Torah all along. Whatever Yaakov Avinu learned, he taught to Yosef. And then later, when the Jewish people were, you might say, well, okay, that was in the early era and the time of the patriarchs. But then later they forgot. No, because when they went down to Mitzrayim, it says Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefan of Goyishna. They sent Yehuda down to Mitzrayim, and he made a Beis HaTalmud. He made a yeshiva, and in the beginning, all Jews studied in that yeshiva. But then they stopped studying because they went to work to build pyramids for Paro. And what did? But Shevet Levi continued studying Torah all along. So the Jewish people studied the Torah and had the Torah all the time. So what is the great thing about now God is giving them the Torah? And the answer is as follows. The Torah that they studied before was the Torah as it relates to the creation. Avram studied Torah, Yitzchak studied, they explored, they reached a tremendous understanding of the Torah, but it was all a Torah that is confined and limited by the confinements and limitations of a finite created being. They did not touch, they did not reach, they couldn't comprehend, they couldn't tap into the infinite Torah, the godly Torah. And only by Matan Torah, when they came to Har Sinai, that's when God upgraded the Torah that they had studied already. This time, it includes God's mind. The infinite wisdom of the Torah is there in the Torah. And when a Jew, when any single person is studying Torah, our minds are assimilating not just the created realm of wisdom, and not only the divine wisdom as it relates to the creation, but absolutely godly divine ideas that are utterly above, beyond, and infinitely transcending the creation. Those ideas our minds are probing, our minds are connecting to when we study Torah, which is something that our forefathers did not have. This is a teaching, an interesting teaching of the Arizal. The Arizal teaches us when we say in the Apirish, in the Birchas HaMazon, when we bench, we say, V'al Torascha Shelimadetanu. We thank God for all the things He's taken us out of Mitzrayim. No delecha, right? In the second passage of the Birchas HaMazon, the grace after the meal. And then we say, Va'al Torascha Shelimadetanu. And we're thanking you, God, for the Torah that you taught us. So the Arizal says like this. What does it mean, the Torah that you taught us? Va'al Torascha, on your Torah. Va'al Torascha Shelimadetanu, that you taught us. So he says like this. Torascha means the godly Torah, your Torah. And the Arizal uses Kabbalistic terminology. So the godly Torah, he says, that's the Torah of the world of Atzilus, the world of emanation, a world of the pure divinity. That's Torascha, that's your Torah. Shelimadetanu, that you taught us, that's the Torah of the world of Bria, of the world of creation. So there is Torascha, there is your Torah, and there is Shelimadetanu, the Torah that we are studying, or the Torah that we are understanding, which is the Torah of Bria, the world of creation. What does it mean? So last week, it wasn't a shir, but I'd given out a CD. I don't know if anybody heard it. But over there, there was a brief discussion about the difference of the four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah. And just very briefly, creation, there's many levels to creation. The Kabbalists tell us there's our physical, the world of Asiya, which is the final stage of creation, where the creations are very, very, very defined and very aware of themselves and very constricted and limited. And then there is the creation in its first initial stage, where the creation is very, very subtle. That's called Olam HaBriya, the world of Briya, the world of creation. A world that is still very, very, very close to its godly source. But yet it's already a creation. It feels itself apart from Hashem. And then between these two realms, there is this mediating stage, which is called Olam HaYetzirah, which is not as dense, as thick, as defined, as solidified like our physical world. It's not as abstract and as subtle and as refined as Olam HaBriya. It's in between these two stages called Olam HaYetzirah. And then beyond that is a completely godly realm called Olam HaAtzilus, the world of emanation. Now, Olam HaBriya, Olam HaAsiya are so, so far apart from each other, but yet there is a common thread. And that they are fixed and limited because they're already, it's all part of the created realm. The creations are finite, it's not God. And then there is Atzilus, which is God, which is the godly, a world of divinity, a world of godliness. So the Arizal says the Torah exists on all levels. There is Toirascha, there is the Torah as it is in the world of Atzilus. Over there, the Torah is infinite because it's God's mind, it's God's understanding. So there the Torah is endless. Every precept, every idea, every concept, every verse of the Torah has their infinite meaning and endless, and it's an endless idea, okay? Because it's God's mind. But then the Torah, so to speak, channels or is funneled down into the world of creation, into Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, as the Torah relates, because God created the entire world through the Torah. So Torah is the blueprint of the creation. So the Torah has the design of all these levels of the world of Bria. So the Torah finds itself in the world of Bria. The Torah is there also in the world of Yetzirah. And the Torah is also there in the world of Asiya. In the world of an hour, as we study the Torah in our physical realm. So the meaning over here is, Val Teiratzcha Shalimad Etanu, is that all the Torah that we study, no matter how deep we get, now how far and how deep we can probe and understand, we all understand that when we study any subject of Torah, there's more to it. Every year we read the same Chumash again, and every year we find new insight. But no matter how far we will probe, and how much we will study, and how much we will understand, we know that we will never get to the bottom end, to the end, to fully understand what the Pasuk is saying. We know there is always a deeper interpretation, and even a deeper interpretation, and even a deeper interpretation. As high as we will ever go, there is a limit to our understanding because our minds have a finite scope of understanding. We can only understand things with limitation. And when Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov studied the Torah, being that they were such unbelievable souls, and they had incredible minds, and they reached the highest epitome of self-refinement, so they were able to tap into the metaphysical meaning of every aspect of the Torah and understand the Torah on levels upon levels, deeper and deeper and deeper. But we also understand that no matter how great and how high was Avram Avinu's and Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Shvatim and their understanding of the Torah, even though it was immense and it was so deep, there was still a limit to how much they understood. They only understood the Torah with their creative minds. They did not understand the Torah the way God understands His Torah. The infinite, endless, godly depth that there is to the Torah. They didn't understand that. Which means there is a cap, there is a ceiling for how high they could understand. And that cap is the roof of Olam HaBriya. They haven't penetrated or went beyond Bria into the world of Atzilus to experience the Torah on the Atzilus level. They couldn't do that. However, after Matan Torah, when we study Torah today, it's a different story. When we're learning Torah today, we're actually studying the Torah And even though our understanding is far, far less and far inferior to the understanding of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov when they studied Torah, is no comparison. You have to be an incredible fool to think that we understand something with the same understanding like Avram understood or like Yitzchak understood. A good analogy would be, and compare of our understanding to their understanding, as you're studying, let's say you're deep in the midst of a subject of Talmud, you're learning a very, very complex thing, and you really worked very hard and you got a good understanding, and suddenly a fly lands on the page. And the fly is crawling around. Now, obviously, the fly also has some, I guess, what a fly can see, whatever it sees. So it sees lines, and it interprets these lines in the way a fly will interpret it. And we can understand how far is the human and your understanding of it from the fly's understanding of what's going on that page of the Talmud. Similar to that probably would be the understanding comparison of our understanding of any idea of Torah in compared to the way Avram understood the Torah or Yitzhak understood the Torah and Yaakov understood the Torah. But notwithstanding the tremendous, immeasurable distance between our comprehension and their understanding of the Torah, Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, with all their understanding, would give and exchange their great, immense, profound understanding of the Torah for the chance to be able to study Torah the way we study Torah, even though it is so minuscule and so tiny like a fly and compared to their understanding. Why would they exchange it? They would give whatever they have to be able to exchange places in history, and in a sense say, you come into the pre-Torah state, and I'm going to be put my neshama into the post-giving of the Torah, so that I can study the Torah with your puny little mind, which would be their mind if they would become us, right? Why? Why is that? Because after the giving of the Torah, there is much more happening to the person who's studying Torah than the person realizes. And that is as follows. That when we are studying Torah, we are experiencing, or rather not consciously, but subconsciously, all the depth of the Torah, including its infinite light and its infinite meaning that God understands of the Torah, that too is being assimilated and processed into our soul. Even though we have no clue about it. So there's two things happening. If we're dealing on the level of conscious experience, of course there's no comparison at all to our study, the way we study Torah today, in comparison to their understanding. Their understanding was way, 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 light years beyond anything we can ever understand in the Torah. But that's only in the realm of conscious understanding, the logic, the rationale, that which they understood of the Torah versus what we understand in the Torah. But as we are today's days, consciously understanding and appreciating these little, we might say, on a very superficial level, or on a shallow level, the way we understand things, as we are taking these ideas and assimilating and processing it through our mind, there is something much greater taking place. And that is the entire wisdom of this pasuk. Everything that this pasuk means, on every level of existence, in Olam Abriya and Olam Asiya in this world, in Olam Yetzira, and in Olam Abriya, on all three levels, on all worlds, and then across this infinite divide, this schism or this block of the partition that separates the divine from the creation, our minds probe deeper and reach into Atzilus, not our minds, but our soul. We might say our supermind. There is our conscious mind, and there is our supermind. And our supermind is assimilating the Torah as God understands it, and that is being illuminated into our neshama, unbeknown to us. That is not there, wasn't there before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, you studied what you studied. You grasped what you grasped. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, their growth, their understanding was tremendous. And we understand far, far greater than what we would ever understand. But it was all within the created realm of grasping, within the created realm of comprehension and of understanding. So their understanding was on levels, and as they grew older, and their minds grew, and their understanding grew, so they understood deeper and deeper and deeper, but they were forever limited to what they were consciously experiencing in it, and there was nothing deeper taking place on a subconscious level in their soul. And the reason is just because of one thing, and that is that the Torah hasn't been given yet to them by God. The Torah then was being taken by them. There's the difference between Matan Torah and Lekicha HaTorah. Before the Torah was given, there were human beings who were taking the Torah. How can you take the Torah if the Torah wasn't given yet? Well, as we said earlier, God created the world, and the Torah was the blueprint. So if you know the creation and you have a holy mind, so then you can tap into the underlying blueprint of creation, know the blueprint from the creation, from the created design. But they were exploring it from within them, from their mind. They were taking it, and they were taking it only as far as they can take it. By Matan Torah, something else happened. Human beings weren't taking the Torah. Instead, God was giving the Torah. And when God gave it, He compressed its entire infinite, endless meaning that is there in every nuance and in every letter. And that infinite meaning and that infinite depth is what He gave to each and every one of us. And therefore, a little child studying today's days on the most simplest of levels, in the most simple interpretation, on the most elementary level of Torah, is his soul is being imbued with something that is endless, infinite, and infinitely greater than that which our forefathers had. And that is the great simcha. And that's also the meaning. Let's take a look at the Arizal for a moment. The Arizal says, "V'al teirascha shalimadetanu," your Torah that you taught us. Seemingly what the Arizal is saying is shalimadetanu, the Torah that we are studying, is only the secondary. Shalimadetanu, you're teaching us the Torah of Bria. But you're not teaching us your Torah scha, your Torah that you can't teach us, because that is you, that's your wisdom, that's not perceivable and graspable in the created realm. So again, by first looking at the Arizal just superficially and not really thinking deeply in what he's saying, it seems like what he's saying is there is a part of the Torah that is not given to us. The Torah of Atzilus we don't touch. Sheli Maditanu, the Torah that we learn, is the Torah of Bria. That's, by the way, the Arizal also explains why the Torah begins with a Beis and not with an Aleph. Because Beis means Bria. Bria means creation. So the Torah that we're having is only the Beis of the Torah and not the Aleph of the Torah. The Aleph of the Torah is God. The Aleph of the Torah is the Atzilus. The word Atzilus, the word emanation, begins with an Aleph. The Atzilus of the Torah is not there in our experience. That's simply what the Arizal is saying. But hold it, that contradicts the very notion of the words. Torascha, your Torah, shelimadetanu, that you taught us, is clearly implying that God has taught us His Torah. And now we're saying that no, Torascha is the way you study the Torah. Shelimadetanu is the way we study the Torah, with the limitations and the constrictions of a finite being. So then how is it Va'al Teirascha Sheli Madetanu? But what the Rizal is really saying is like this. No, Sheli Madetanu means what we are consciously understanding. The information that we are processing through our minds is only a finite Torah. Is the Torah in the created realm. And the highest we can understand it, even if we really, really, really probe the Torah on a very, very deep level, we will only reach the highest we can absorb and intellectually process is only Sheli Maditanu, the Torah of Bria, not the Torah of Atzilus. But embedded, included, and there in that Torah, in a mystical way that we don't feel and don't know, is Torascha, is your Torah. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, we say every day in Davening, V'nosan lanu es Torah so. God gave us His Torah. He didn't create a new Torah for us. He gave us His Torah. And He allows us to plug our minds into His brain. He allows us to become assimilated into His mind. Today we're unaware of it. We have no clue that that's what's happening. However, it's being absorbed in our neshama. And one day it reveals itself. Which means when the soul leaves the body, the soul begins its journey into the higher spheres, into more spiritual realms. And then it studies the very same Torah that it studied down here. But then it sees suddenly such deeper meaning into this. And the soul says, wow, I never knew that this. I've been learning this all the time. I never understood this way. And then the soul is elevated to a higher world. Let's say in every yard site, neshamas go higher. It suddenly enters into a higher Gan Eden, into a higher world, to a higher academy. And it studies that very same Torah. But now the whole thing has so much higher meaning and deeper meaning, because it's the Torah as it is in that spiritual world, where the light of the Torah can reveal itself to so much of a higher degree, because it has less restrictions and less limitations. And then the Torah and the soul continues to journey and journey with this concept for all of eternity. One day, whenever that is, the soul reaches the barrier that separates the creations from the Creator and begins to revel in the Torah as the Torah is, in its infinite light, in its infinite, endless godly meaning. That's why it says in the sages say, Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Talmudo Biyado. It says when they come to Gan Eden, they say, praised is the person who comes to this world with the Torah in his hands, in his possession. And the question is, meaning that means that you shouldn't forget what you studied. When you learn something, you should do chazara. We should learn something again and again. You learn Mishnah, you learn Talmud, you learn Chumash, you should learn the Rashi. Learn it many times so you really etch it into your mind. So when your soul leaves the body, you shouldn't forget what you learned. The question is, we're talking about Gan Eden. We're talking about a metaphysical reality. A world that is so abstract, a world that is so godly. What good is it going to be to the soul if it remembers the physical concepts in which it studied the Torah down here below, in which there was a debate and a question about a person exchanging a donkey for a cow? And what is going to happen when two people have this situation, they want to exchange one? What is the logistics, or what is the manner in which this would facilitate this exchange according to the Torah? Well, that's a situation that doesn't apply at all when you're in Gan Eden. There are no donkeys and there are no cows. And there is no, this whole thing doesn't exist over there. So why do you need to have the Torah you studied in this world when you come to Gan Eden? And the answer is that the very same subject that deals with a donkey and a cow is applicable in a higher realm of existence. But over there, a donkey and a cow has some metaphysical meaning, a spiritual meaning to a donkey and a cow. And when you go up to that world, you re-study those very same laws, but now you're experiencing that very concept in its spiritual, with its metaphysical meaning. But that too is only a metaphor for even a higher understanding on a higher realm, and that on a higher realm, and on a higher realm, and on a higher realm. It's almost like, you know, when you used to give, we had this game when we were all kids, and we give a present to someone, and we wrap the present, and we put one wrapper. It's a little tiny little something, maybe a little toy ring, and you wrap it with one box, and then you put another wrapper on it, and another wrapper on it, another, hundreds of wrappers. The Torah, that's the way the Torah comes to the world, with wrappers and wrappers and wrappers, and layers and layers and layers, multi layers. Over here, we study the most outer layer of the Torah. And then, but here's the beauty of it. Down here on earth is where we get the entire package. We cannot get the Torah with all its layers in the spiritual worlds. Once the soul leaves the body and it is in the spiritual realms, it can experience the Torah only on that level that the Torah is. Only the wrapper on that level. That's it. It can't experience the entire Torah. It's in the physical body where v'nasan lanu, where God gave us es Torah so, where God gave us the entire Torah. Over here is where we have the Torah in its entirety. And it's given to each and every one of us when we study it. We're studying something that has infinite, endless meaning to it. And that's the meaning of Nasan Lanu Es Torah, so you gave me your Torah. This will also explain a very interesting thing. The sages tell us that there was a time when the Greek emperor
asked that the Torah should be translated into Greek. And the Jews had to send a group of scholars down to, this was into Alexandria in Egypt. Talmai, the king, asked for the translation of the Torah. And there were 70 scholars who went down to translate the Torah. When they came over there, the king was a little, he wanted to make sure that he has a very honest translation, and they shouldn't have made any changes. So he took the 70 scholars and he put them into 70. When he called them down, I think he didn't even tell them why he was calling them. He ordered the 70 Zakenim to come. They came down, and then he told them that he wants them to translate the Torah. He took them, eat them all, and they sequestered them. Each one was put into a room where they had no contact with each other. And he gave them the quill and parchment, and he said, now translate the entire Torah into Greek. The reason he separated them, because he wanted to make sure that they're going to be honest, and they're not going to, because he was going to compare the translations. They sat down and they began their work, and they realized that there would be certain things that would be mistranslated and misunderstood, rather, by Talmai the king. He just wouldn't get it. And it would cause a desecration of God's name and a desecration of the Torah. So they figured they must make changes. And I guessed with tremendous bitachon and trust in Hashem, even though they knew they couldn't get caught, because what is to say? I mean, I'm going to translate it this way, and he's going to see that there is a discrepancy. They're not the same. But yet they, despite the fact that they knew of this trap, they knew that they went and they interpreted the Torah, and each one made changes. And there's an argument about how many changes they made. Maybe, I think, 14 or 15 changes, but according to some opinions, there was like a few hundred changes that they made in their translation of the Torah. And the miracle that happened was that the translations came out exactly the same, which means they all came up with the exact changes, the same changes that the other one, even though there's 70 people, 70 minds, and each one translating, and they all translated it the same way with the changes that they made. One of the changes that they made was that in the first verse of the Torah, they immediately felt they have to make a change. In the first verse of the Torah, it says, Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz, which translated as Bereshis, in the beginning. Bara Elokim, God created es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz. Like Rashi says, Bereshis, in the beginning, when God created the heaven and earth. That's the way it reads in the Hebrew version. When they came along, they were worried that Talmai HaMelech is going to read it, Bereshis bara Elokim, that there is this entity called Bereshis who created God. Bereshis bara Elokim, that Bereshis created the Elokim. So the Jewish God was created by somebody. They didn't want that Talmai should come to that conclusion, so they went and they switched it around. They translated Elokim bara Bereshis. They translated into Greek as if it would have said Elokim, God, bara, created Bereshis in the beginning. That was their first change that they made. And I guess that somehow it comes down to the Bible. It reads, God created. I don't know if it says in the beginning God created heaven and earth, or it says God created in the beginning heaven and earth. It begins with God. It begins with Elokim, bara Bereshis. But according to that, comes out that what? That the Torah begins with an aleph. The Torah, as it has been translated to the non-Jewish world, begins with an aleph. Because Elokim, bara Bereshis. God created, the word Elokim begins with an aleph. So we have already now explained the whole long explanation of why the Torah has to begin with a beis. But in the translation of the Torah into Greek, we have a Torah beginning with an aleph. Now, what is the reason for that? Everything is by divine providence. What is the reason why the Torah, what we might say, as it is revealed to the Jewish people, begins with a beis, and the Torah, as it was revealed and translated to the non-Jewish world, begins with an aleph? And that brings it back to what we were saying before. We said the Torah, when we're learning and we're studying Torah, we always have to bear in mind that whatever we understand and whatever we know, even if we understand the Torah on such a deep, profound level, it's only the base of the Torah, because there is something infinitely deeper over here.
In this Torah that we are studying, there is the infinite light, the infinite mind of our Creator. That is in the Torah. So we're only learning the base of the Torah. We're not learning the Aleph of the Torah. But here's a simple question. If the Torah that we are studying is only the base, is only the secondary created element of the Torah, and not the Aleph, not the number one, how far is our understanding, how far is the understanding of a creation, of a created finite being, even an angel, even the highest celestial being, how far is its understanding from God's understanding? Obviously infinite. If it's infinite, and there's an infinite distance between the two understandings, God's understanding and the created understanding, so the created understanding has no relationship to the Torah on a godly scale. No relationship at all. If it has no relationship at all, why is it called number two? Why is it called Beis? This is the beginning of this Torah. The beginning of this Torah, the Torah that is studied, the Torah that is in this world, is a creation Torah. It's a wisdom. It's a discipline. It's a great godly. It's a great wisdom, but there is a limit to it. It's finite. So this is number one. Number one of the Torah that we're learning. Why are you calling it number two? See, number two is only, you can only call something number two when it's a secondary stage to something. But if the Torah that we are studying is so disconnected, how much disconnected? Endlessly disconnected. Because the distance between a creator and the creation is infinite. That means if a creation will become smarter, and then smarter, and smarter, and accumulate more knowledge, will the creation ever catch up with the Creator? Will a creation ever be able to become God? Never. Because even if you grow in wisdom, in refinement, in kindness, in generosity, in compassion, and grow and grow and grow and grow, you're just never going to be there. Because the separation is absolute. It's infinite. It's endless. If that's the case, so the Torah that we're studying is a complete new Torah, unrelated to God's Torah. It might come from God's Torah, but it's unrelated to it. So then this is number one. It's not number two. It's the number one. It's the number one, the Torah, on its first stage of this Torah that we have. But we say the Torah is number two. Why do we say the Torah is number two? And the answer to that is because the Torah that we study is related to God's Torah. Not because we're able to reach and understand God's Torah, but rather because God does an unbelievable, magical trick. He does the impossible. God does a miracle of the impossible. Well, what's the impossible miracle God does? He takes His infinite wisdom, His unknowable wisdom, and compresses it into the finite ideas that we are assimilating into our minds. So when we are studying Torah, even though we're understanding it with its most limited scope and its most limited way, as we are understanding it, contained within it is the Aleph of the Torah. So we're learning the base of the Torah. And the reason we're calling it the Beis is because underlying and included and inserted in the Beis that we are learning is the Aleph, as we said earlier, the Aleph of Anochi, of I am God, your God, is there in the Torah that we're learning. But that is only when a Jew is studying Torah. Why? Because God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. But when the Torah is being studied by the non-Jew, it's not better than Avram studying the Torah. When Avram is studying the Torah, even Avram, and yet the fathers of the Jewish people, when they studied the Torah before the Torah was given, they were probing it with their minds. They were reaching into the Torah by trying to take the Torah with their powers. With their powers, you're only reaching as far as you're reaching. And how far are you reaching? You can never transcend the barrier of creation. You will always be a creation. And therefore the mind will always have a limit. As much as it will expand, it will always have a limit. It can't cross that barrier. So therefore, what you have is what you get. There is nothing there more. What you see is what you get. There's nothing deeper in that Torah that is not to be seen that's really there. That's all that's there. Both in the Torah study before the Torah was given and even after the Torah is given, when a non-Jew studies the Torah, the same thing. You're studying as much as you're understanding. You understand a little more, you have that as well. You understand the deeper, you have that as well. But not the infinite depth of it. That is a gift that God gave to the Jewish people when we study the Torah. V'nasan lanu es Torasa. God gives us His Torah. And this is an incredible inspiration for us to really think about this. Because here we are, living in our... we're living our lives, and we have constantly, you know, there's a mitzvah to study Torah all the time. But we're busy because we have so many other things we can do. So many things we can do. We have this and we have that and all kinds of enjoyments and all kinds of pleasures and all kinds of happenings. You can read the newspaper, you can catch up on what's happening on and check your email and then go online and surf the web, and then you can watch TV and you can listen to music and do whatever other things we generally like to do with our leisurely time. Now, just a little thought that anything that we could be doing, any kind of pleasure, any kind of delight that we could be involved with, we're experiencing a finite experience. We're experiencing a pleasure, a delight that exists in one speck of time and one tiny point of space. And therefore, the moment you're done with lunch, the pleasure is gone, the delight is gone. Tomorrow, it's not here, it's not going to be there next year. It's as good as yesterday's newspaper, right? You pick up the newspaper. What good is going to give you now if you pick up 3 years ago the newspaper? It's yesterday's news. It's meaningless. It has nothing to it. It's just empty, hollow information that you have nothing to do with anymore. Any kind of experience in life, the pleasure of it, the experience of it, is its momentary delight that you feel that you have at that second, because it is a part of the creation that is in time and space. Its experience is now just for the second. When we study Torah, we're picking up a book. We're picking up something that has meaning and meaning and meaning and meaning in every realm that your soul will ever be, in every place you will ever be for all of time, for all of eternity. Wherever you will go, that verse, that little passage of the Talmud, that Mishnah, that Rashi, that shir, that insight will always be there. And will always be there and always release new pleasure, new insight, new depth to you. And this will carry you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For endless. In all time and in all space. And for all, and again, time and space, that too is only still the Torah as it is in, as it comprises all the levels of creation. But above and beyond that, it's Hashem's mind. It's as real and as true and as deep and as absolute as God is. And it's only during this 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years that we live in physical reality that we're able to tap into and study something that has this endless layer of meaning, endless layer of pleasure, an endless layer, layers and layers and layers of depth, meaning, and significance. V'nasan lanu es Torasso. God gives us His Torah. Is there anything better for us to do? Now we understand why the sages are so adamant that we don't waste a minute, and that every second you have, fill it with Torah study. And Baruch Hashem, in today's days, God has given us the capabilities. Because Hashem has given us, on the one hand, we have so many more distractions. But on the other hand, we have so much more opportunity. Because today we have these gadgets that we can fill them up. You don't need anymore a library. You don't need a library. You can take all of the Torah, the entire, I mean, all the Torah, we mean all of the of the infrastructure, and I'm not saying all the Torah in terms of its infinite inward depth, but the entire skeleton, so to speak, of the Torah, and have it on a phone, have it on a little computer, and a little, and you can carry it with you all the time, and you can have it in audio, and you can have visual, and you can open up any page wherever you are. If you're on the bus, if you're on the train, if you're sitting at the waiting for at the cleaners, online, no matter where you are, it's right there. You can open it up, study little snippets, little parts, capture taking a moment in which you're existing in the here and in the now, and that's it, and reaching, when you're studying Torah, reaching into all of eternity, and tapping into it, taking hold of it, and absorbing it into your soul. So it's not just a moment that is a fleeting moment that's gone, but it's a moment that's connecting you to absolute reality. And that's the great celebration, and that's the great happiness of Parshas Yisro. Here is where we have Anochi Hashem Elokecha, God Himself. May Hashem give us all the wisdom, the inspiration, and the determination to make a decision that we won't waste any time anymore with frivolous silliness. And even things that are maybe important, but as important as they are, they can't match up with something so great and something so precious like the Torah that Hashem has given us. May we all merit to study Torah and to hear the unraveling of the Torah as it's going to be revealed to us through the mouth of Mashiach. Maybe have that now. Yeah.